overnight, a piece of Python code that was written entirely by an artificial intelligence, it completely bypassed the global standard for digital security.
Yeah.
And it left like 275 million students completely exposed.
Right. I mean, it is the moment the theoretical threat officially just became our daily reality.
Yeah, wow. Well, welcome to the deep dive.
Glad to be here.
Today, we are pulling our sources from the May 14th, 2026 edition of the Tekken Night Tech and Gaming Newsletter. And our mission for you today is to map out this, frankly, just whiplash-inducing collision happening right now.
Well, for sure. It's giving everyone a whiplash.
Right. Like, we're watching these terrifying rapid-fire AI breakthroughs fundamentally alter how we interact with technology. But then at the exact same time,
the gaming industry is doing the exact opposite.
Yes. Achieving record-breaking profits by stubbornly retreating into the past.
Yeah, the contrast couldn't be sharper. Tech is, you know, sprinting into this completely unpredictable future while entertainment is just seeking absolute safety and nostalgia.
That's exactly. So we're going to navigate a new cycle that covers a lot of ground today. We're looking at AI-generated cyber warfare, a student data breach that paralyzed institutions worldwide, your phone basically acting as an autonomous agent to book your dinner.
Which is wild.
Totally wild. And why game developers are abandoning innovation to sell you the exact same games you played like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So to help synthesize this bizarre digital landscape we find ourselves in this week, our resident expert is here to break it down.
Ready to get into it. Because if you look closely, these stories aren't just isolated events. They're actually symptoms of a complete rewrite of the rules for our digital lives in 2026.
Okay, so let's look at the first rule being rewritten, which is security.
Right.
Google's threat intelligence group, GTIG, they just announced they neutralized the first ever zero-day exploit created entirely by artificial intelligence.
Yeah, this is a huge deal.
According to Google, an unknown hacking group used an underground AI model. It's called OpenClaw. To write Python code that completely bypassed two-factor authentication in a really popular open-source system administration tool.
What's fascinating here is that this completely upends the traditional timeline of cybersecurity.
How so?
Well, historically, discovering a vulnerability that the actual software developers didn't know about, that required a highly specialized team.
Right, like real people in a room?
Exactly. You'd have elite security experts or like state-sponsored groups spending weeks or even months analyzing code just looking for a single flaw. But now
the AI does it.
Right. An AI model compresses that months-long timeline of discovery and weaponization into hours.
Into hours. And what's wild is that this isn't just a sudden surprise. We kind of knew this was coming.
We did, yeah.
Because the newsletter points out that just weeks prior, Anthropic announced their unreleased Claude Mythos model could do exactly this.
Yeah, autonomously discover and exploit 0 days.
Right. But they locked it down.
They did.
But OpenClaw is out in the wild, and it's active. But I want to understand the mechanism here. How does an AI just, you know, bypass 2FA?
So it's important to differentiate this from brute force hacking.
Okay.
Traditional hacking often relied on, you know, guessing credentials or... Claude didn't do that. It analyzed the memory allocation and the logic flow of the administration tool itself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it found a flaw in how the system verified users and essentially forged the authentication token.
So it didn't even need the code?
No. Think of it less like picking a lock and more like forging a flawless VIP backstage pass.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
The system inherently trusts the forged token, so the 2FA prompt is simply skipped altogether.
Skipped altogether. And when you have an AI instantly forging VIP passes to secure systems, the real-world fallout is catastrophic.
It really is.
Which brings us to the Canvas LMS hack. So Canvas is the backbone for nearly 9,000 universities and institutions worldwide. The scale here is staggering. A group called Shiny Hunters breached the system, and they walked away with 3.65 terabytes of stolen data.
Which exposed, what, 275 million people?
275 million students and faculty. Names, emails, direct messages, grades, literally everything.
It effectively halted higher education globally. I mean, students at UCLA, Stanford, institutions across Europe and Australia, they were locked out of their assignments right in the middle of final exam.
Right in the middle of finals. And the timeline of this Canvas breach is what really highlights how broken the traditional defense mechanisms are right now.
Yeah, the timeline is the crazy part.
So the initial breach happens on April 29, 2026. Instructure, the parent company, they claim they patched the issue and restored services by May 3.
Right.
But on May 7, the hacker strolled right back in to deface the school login portals, and they used the exact same API vulnerability.
Yep.
It got so bad that by May 12, Instructure was forced into an agreement with the hackers just to stop the 3.65 terabytes of data from being leaked.
Just brutal.
But wait, how do you patch a system only to get hacked through the exact same hole 4 days later?
Because patching an API isn't always as simple as changing a password.
Okay.
An API is essentially a communication bridge between different software systems. It's how the servers talk to each other in the background.
Right.
So Instructure likely secured the front-end access points, but the back-end API endpoint was still accepting corrupted requests.
Oh, I see.
The hackers didn't need to break down the newly reinforced front door. They just kept using the loading dock in the back that the patch failed to properly authenticate.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because if an AI like OpenClaw can analyze code, find these obscure logic flaws, bypass 2FA by forging tokens, and execute these sophisticated attacks in hours instead of months.
Yeah, human IT teams simply can't type fast enough to defend against that.
Right. I mean, traditional hacking used to be like a cat burglar casing a single building for weeks.
Okay.
But this AI-generated OpenClaw exploit, it feels like a million invisible lockpicks instantly trying every door on Earth at the exact same time.
That's exactly what it is. We are fundamentally outmatched.
So if AI can bypass 2FA and compress a months-long attack into hours, how on earth is a regular person or even a university supposed to defend themselves?
Well, the brutal truth is that human reaction time is no longer a viable defense mechanism.
Wow.
We are in a full-blown arms race where the only defense against AI is AI.
You have to fight fire with fire.
Exactly. For organizations, it requires deploying defensive AI that monitors network behavior at the machine level, instantly isolating any anomalous activity.
Okay.
But for you, the listener, the actionable takeaway here isn't just about changing your password, though, you know, you absolutely must change your Canvas and university passwords and monitor your credit reports immediately.
Right, because a new password doesn't stop an AI from forging a session token.
Precisely. The real shift you need to make is recognizing that the era of static defense is over.
Static defense being like a normal password.
Or even simple 2FA via text message. That's obsolete now. You must migrate your critical accounts to hardware security keys or complex authenticator apps, which offer a more dynamic layer of verification.
Okay, that makes sense.
But even then, the core realization for 2026 is that perimeter security is failing. Your data is only as safe as the active, real-time behavioral monitoring systems protecting it.
Which perfectly explains the really aggressive strategy shifts we are seeing from the major tech companies.
Oh, absolutely.
They know static defense is dead. So if AI is already operating invisibly in the background to bypass global security, Google has decided the only way forward is to have AI operate invisibly in the background to completely run your daily life.
It is a massive leap from generative AI to what we are now calling agentic AI.
Agentic AI. So at the Android show, I/O edition, Google just unveiled Android 17.
Yep. Launching this summer.
Right. Which is a clear move to front run Apple's iOS 27 in the fall.
Always a race.
Always. And the entire operating system is built around Gemini intelligence and this concept of agentic AI. And the newsletter gives a scenario that frankly sounds like science fiction, but it's apparently launching in a few months.
It's a while.
You simply tell your phone out loud, find me an Italian restaurant, make a reservation, and send me the address.
Right. Now, under the old paradigm, a voice assistant would transcribe that audio, run a search query, and hand you a list of links.
Like, here are 10 Italian restaurants.
Exactly. It was just an information retriever.
But with agentic AI, the phone operates completely autonomously. It opens Google Maps on its own. It searches the restaurants, reads the reviews, finds an open time slot, opens the reservation app, fills out the booking form with your personal details, submits it, and just pings you when the reservation is confirmed.
Because it now has system-level hooks.
System-level hooks.
Yeah, it isn't just generating text anymore. It is reading the user interface of third-party applications, injecting data into specific fields, and executing commands as a proxy user.
It's essentially acting as you.
It is navigating the digital world exactly the way a human would, just instantaneously.
And Google is baking this frictionless approach into everything. Android 17 introduces vibe coding, where you can just use natural language to create fully functional custom widgets on your home screen without knowing any code.
Which is going to change how people use their phone.
For sure. You just describe what you want the widget to do, and the AI writes the script and deploys it. They also added smart voice dictation that scrubs out your ums and ahs in real time.
We could probably use that.
Right. And a pause point digital well-being tool that uses AI to actually intervene when you are doom scrolling.
It's a comprehensive suite designed to remove every possible point of friction between your intention and the digital execution of that intention.
But here's where it gets really interesting. Because wait a minute. We just established in the first half of this deep dive that AI is finding invisible logic flaws, bypassing authentication, and holding universities hostage. Do we really want this agentic AI having free rein to navigate across all our apps, fill out forms, and access our data without our intervention? Am I really supposed to feel comfortable giving an agentic AI the keys to my banking apps?
This raises an important question, and it is the defining tension of our current technology landscape. Extreme convenience requires extreme vulnerability.
Wow, yeah.
Handing over that level of autonomy requires absolute trust in the underlying operating system, because if a malicious app tricks the agentic AI into handing over your credentials, the fallout is instantaneous.
So how does Google convince anyone this is safe? I mean, really safe.
By heavily marketing their own AI-driven countermeasures.
Like fighting AI with AI?
Exactly. Baked into Android 17 is live threat detection. Now, this isn't a static antivirus scanner looking for known malware. It is an AI that continuously monitors the behavior of all your apps in real time.
Okay, so active monitoring.
Right. If an app starts acting suspiciously, say, suddenly trying to access your microphone or read your agentic AI's activity logs, the system isolates it immediately. They also introduce banking call protection to actively block sophisticated spoofed calls.
So they are essentially giving you an incredibly capable personal assistant, but forcing you to rely on their AI bodyguard to watch the assistant.
And that is the exact AI versus AI defensive strategy we discussed earlier, just deployed natively onto your home screen. Google is openly admitting that human oversight is no longer fast enough to protect your device.
It is an exhausting arms race. The ground is constantly shifting underneath us, and every new convenience comes with a terrifying new vulnerability.
It really does.
Which brings us to a fascinating secondary effect of all this hyper-acceleration.
Oh, the pivot.
Right. What happens when an entire industry looks at this volatile, risky, high-speed technological sprint and just opts out entirely?
You're talking about the gaming industry's retreat to nostalgia.
Exactly. While the tech companies are sprinting into an automated future, the gaming industry is achieving unprecedented, record-breaking success by stubbornly looking backward.
It's such a wild contrast.
Let's look at Capcom's latest financials. For the fiscal year ending in March 2026, Capcom reported 59.07 million games sold, generating $1.24 billion in revenue.
Wow.
That is a 15.2% year-over-year growth.
Truly staggering numbers for a legacy publisher.
A massive driver of that growth was Resident Evil Requiem, which dropped in February 2026 and sold 6.91 million copies in just 2 months.
Unbelievable.
But the real kicker from the newsletter is that 83.7% of Capcom's total sales came from older catalog titles.
Wow, over 80%.
Yeah, and 93% of their total sales are purely digital. The Resident Evil franchise alone just crossed 200 million copies sold, meaning roughly 1 in 40 people on Earth has bought one.
This is the absolute perfection of the evergreen strategy.
So what does this all mean? Why is nostalgia so incredibly profitable right now? I look at Capcom, and they are operating exactly like a heritage clothing brand, like Levi's.
Oh, that's a great comparison.
Right. They realize they don't need to invent a brand new type of pants. They just need to continually perfect the classic fit, sell it digitally with zero physical production costs, and profit.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it makes perfect sense, because the risk profile of modern game development has become terrifying.
How so?
Creating a brand new faceless IP in 2026 requires 5 to 7 years of development and hundreds of millions of dollars. If it fails, the studio could literally collapse.
That's a massive gamble.
So instead, Capcom focuses on deeply established, globally recognized IPs, Resident Evil, Monster Hunter, Street Fighter. By creating high-fidelity remakes of classic games, the core R&D is already done.
Right, they don't have to write a new story.
Exactly. The narrative arc, the character designs, the level pacing, it has all been pre-approved by the market decades ago.
It acts as an economic shield.
Exactly. They attract the older, nostalgic demographic who played the original, while simultaneously pulling in a new generation of gamers looking for cutting-edge graphics. And when 93% of those sales are digital downloads, there are no physical discs, no shipping logistics, no retail cuts. The profit margins are immense.
And it isn't just game catalogs either. We are seeing legacy talent make massive moves to secure this kind of nostalgic safety.
Yeah, the Harada news.
The Harada news. Legendary director Katsuhiro Harada just announced he is leaving Bandai Namco after 31 years.
End of an era.
Truly. This is the man who drove the Tekken franchise to 54 million sales.
Mm-hmm.
On May 12th and 13th, news broke that he is forming a new studio in Tokyo called VS Studio. But he is partnering with his traditional, decades-long rival, SNK, the creators of King of Fighters and Fatal Fury. Why would a titan like Harada abandon a 31-year legacy?
Well, even legends seek new challenges, but Harada's move is a masterstroke of risk mitigation. Even a legend starting a new studio faces an uphill battle to capture an audience. But by synthesizing his 3 decades of global management and marketing brilliance with SNK's fiercely loyal fan base, he guarantees an audience on day one.
Right. It's the ultimate marriage of 2 rich, established legacies. Analysts are already anticipating a crossover fighting game. They aren't trying to invent a new genre. They are combining 2 beloved histories to create a guaranteed blockbuster.
It proves that in an era where technology is evolving so fast, it gives consumers vertigo, a deeply rooted, familiar experience is the most valuable commodity on the market.
Which makes sense. Capcom and Harada are actively polishing their legacies to thrive. But there is a massive difference between actively polishing a legacy and just stubbornly letting your legacy sit completely untouched because you hold all the leverage.
Which leads us to Rockstar Games.
The undeniable center of gravity in the gaming industry.
Yep.
So, according to the newsletter, Red Dead Redemption 2 and Red Dead Online are finally coming to the PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium catalogs on May 19th, 2026. It's coming in alongside titles like Star Wars Outlaws and Bramble, The Mountain King.
That brings a masterpiece to millions of subscription users.
It does. But it also brings a massive point of frustration for the player base.
Mm-hmm.
We are 5.5 years into the life cycles of PlayStation 5, and there is still no native PS5 upgrade for Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, still stuck at 30 fuchis.
It is permanently locked at 30 frames per second. Even utilizing the PS5's game boost just stabilizes the frame rate. It doesn't increase it. And I have to push back on this on behalf of the players.
Go for it.
We are living in a week where an AI can hack global infrastructure in hours. My phone can independently book an Italian restaurant, but I still can't get a cowboy game from last decade to run at 60 frames per second on state-of-the-art hardware.
I know. It is incredibly frustrating from a user experience standpoint. But if you analyze Rockstar's position, their inaction makes perfect economic sense.
Really? How?
They have 0 financial incentive to allocate the complex engineering resources required to untangle that game's physics engine for a 60 FPS upgrade.
Simply because they don't have to.
Exactly. Red Dead Redemption 2 remains one of the most immersive, deeply detailed, open-world experiences ever created. It continues to sell massively as is at 30 frames per second. But more importantly, every single ounce of Rockstar's development capability is currently laser-focused on the release of Grand Theft Auto 6 later in 2026.
So they are too big to care about industry standards.
They define the industry standards. Rockstar doesn't need to adopt Capcom's evergreen strategy of constant remakes because their original releases have a shelf life of over a decade. They can afford to be stubborn with their legacy.
Wow. Well, we have covered a truly wild spectrum of the modern digital experience today.
We really have.
On one hand, to survive 2026, you have to set up multi-factor authentication just to fend off AI-generated zero-day attacks and protect your Canvas data. You are going to let agentic AI autonomously navigate your phone to plan your life.
Yeah.
And yet, when the day is done and it's time to unwind, you are going to digitally download the exact same Resident Evil and Red Dead games you've been playing for years.
We are hurtling toward a hyper-automated future while desperately clinging to the comfort of the past. But, you know, there's one final thread here that connects these two extremes, and it's something worth keeping an eye on.
Yeah, well, what's that?
Well, we talked about how AI, like Gemini and OpenClaw, can now perfectly emulate human behavior from meticulously hacking infrastructure to navigating apps and writing code.
Right.
And we also talked about how game studios are relying on highly profitable evergreen remakes of old games because the mechanics and narratives are already established. So how long until those two realities merge?
Oh, wow. Wait, really?
Yeah. If the blueprint for a classic game already exists, how long until game studios like Capcom or Rockstar bypass human developers altogether? Will the highly profitable remakes and DLCs of the future be entirely generated, coded, and released by artificial intelligence without a single human ever touching the code?
A completely synthetic intelligence, perfectly recreating our nostalgic human past. That is the ultimate collision. We will leave you to ponder that one as you update your security keys and let your phone book your dinner. Keep questioning the code, and we'll see you on the next deep dive.